You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, There Is Always Hope. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Stories of political corruption and pagan-like immorality have captured the major news headlines of our nation's newspapers and television during the past year. Hardly a day goes by without someone calling for an investigation or a special prosecutor. These crises are not natural catastrophes. These shady and often illegal activities result from a general breakdown in morals and ethics. Clergymen and concerned Christians are not the only ones sounding the alarm. Even many secular commentators have expressed great concern at the disintegration of our culture. The popular author Joseph Heller, who became famous through his novel Catch-22, said that the disintegration of the American society appears to be a continuing process. I could list, he said, 100 symptoms of decline involving family and marriage. Our love and greed for money, he added, drives everything. This confusion of direction, this rudderless morality of our current culture often leads people, especially Christians, to exclaim, "What is going on here? How are we to relate to this general breakdown of ethics and morals, and why is this happening?" Now, since most of us who are Christian consider the Bible to be the Word of God, and that through the Bible God is speaking to us today, our first step is to try to determine the meaning of the apparent disintegration of our current culture. And for this, we need to ask this question: what does the Bible really say about this subject? Writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul states, "Realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." I think one cannot help but be impressed by these last words of the Bible, that in the last days many people will be holding to a form of godliness but denying its power. You know, only 1 year ago the Gallup poll announced that there appears to be a trend for people in our country to become more and more religious. However, this seems to be little more than a religion of the mind and the mouth, and it seems to be having less and less influence on what most people do and how they live. This laundry list of licentious living that I just read from the Bible a moment ago, these trends of immorality, indecency, and lack of ethics that signal the end times may seem to be too negative to describe our current culture. Consequently, we need to honestly ask this question: is the Bible out of date and irrelevant? Is what the Bible says an overstatement of current conditions? Based on current comments of respected secular social critics, I suggest that the Bible is right on. And because the Bible is right on in describing how social conditions will break down in the last days, this is also why an editorial by John Leo, a leading and popular columnist in the U.S. News and World Report magazine, is so deeply disturbing. Mr. Leo refers to another highly respected critic of culture who wonders out loud when he writes, "How could America have deteriorated so quickly from a stable and orderly world into our current chaos of fatherlessness, illegitimacy, divorce, violence, deviancy, and anything goes morality?" This author then goes on to observe that any one of the weekly stories that we today yawn at, especially those involving corruption and scandal, these same stories would have been astonishing news only one generation or two ago. And how did we get into this mess, this writer asks? The writer then answers, our destruction is due to a large degree to our learned class, including college professors, many of whom oppose organized religion. 3 years ago, several leading scholars of a major Midwestern university published a book explaining to university students how to do research. And at the introduction of their book, these professors state, if research has taught us anything, it is this, that truth has a way of changing. Now, do you remember the U.S. News and World Report magazine columnist that I referred to just a moment ago? The one who said that liberal university professors must share the blame for our cultural disintegration? Well, he is to be commended, I think. Because, you see, when you remove God and faith and religion from what is important in society and from what is being taught to the next generation, then the culture collapses like a brick house without mortar. Oh, indeed, my friend, if we think that we are going to have a strong culture by supporting university teaching that undermines and despises God and faith and religion, then we need to hear the Apostle Paul when he writes, and I quote, in the last days there will be those who will be always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Of course, we all know that in a secular sense, truth relates to knowledge and wisdom. Nevertheless, the highest truth that you and I can come to know is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the Bible says, all things hold together. And it was also this Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Oh, yes, Jesus did for us what no learned atheist or agnostic could ever do. Jesus died to save you and me from the curse of our sins. And it was this same Jesus who was raised again on the third day. Yes, it was this same Jesus who said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And shortly before he was crucified and when he was put on trial, Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor in charge, for this, yes, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. And everyone, Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so then today, if you, my friend, want to avoid the plague of spiritual darkness, so often promoted by crass secularism, then base all your knowledge on the crucified and resurrected Jesus. This is also the Jesus who said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. And then when we speak about this Jesus, let's remember that he also, as did St. Paul, he did speak about the signs of the end of the world. And when Jesus spoke about the end times, his disciples said, Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, instead of saying to his disciples, oh, don't worry about these matters, Jesus instead said, see to it that no one misleads you, for in the last days many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you, Jesus emphasized, see that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But then Jesus added, this is not yet the end. For nation, Jesus said, will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and there will be earthquakes. And at that time, many will fall away, Jesus continued to explain, and will deliver up one another and will hate one another. Finally, Jesus said, many false prophets will arise, and they will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Now, my friend, today, in 1998, isn't this exactly what we are seeing in our culture? Everybody is doing their own thing, and nobody seems to care very much about anybody else. For Jesus, these signs of people's lovelessness and other signs now appearing in our current culture were very, very important. These signs, Jesus told his followers, would be a reminder that the end was coming and that his followers needed to be on the alert. The one who endures to the end, Jesus said, will be saved. And how then might we today, at the end of the 20th century, heed Jesus' words and endure through our cultural meltdown? And most important, how can you and I survive the present age with our faith intact? I think we can learn a lot from the first Christians. You see, the first Christians, as they faced endless opposition for their faith, they have given us a powerful example. Their God-given faith life enabled them to survive. The Bible says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Self-generated religious determination, no matter how sincere it might be, can never enable anyone to endure those difficult days that the Bible says are coming. Rather, we need help from the outside, from outside ourselves, and you and I need to be given life by God. And this God-given spiritual life needs also to be regularly nourished. This spiritual feeding and strengthening occurs when we faithfully hear God's life-giving word preached and taught. Through these powerful means of life, our faith is strengthened, and we are given a hope, yes, we are given a hope that is unshakable. And so then, my friends, each time you see in the newspaper or on television the signs that society is becoming less and less ethical, and that the leaders of your country are becoming more and more immoral, don't become discouraged. Instead of lashing out in anger, let your first response be one of good citizenship. Speak up for what is right and stand up for what is proper. Insist that morals be upheld and demand proper ethics. And then, my friend, don't just sit on the sidelines and whine and complain about all the ills of society. Do something. Become involved wherever you can in your community, and instead of cursing the darkness, strike a match of light. Do all things, the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian Christians, without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. And in all of this, even as you are tossed to and fro in the sea of turbulent and changing morals and ethics, fix your eyes always on the lighthouse of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your helper. Jesus Christ is your compass. He is your forgiver. Yes, Jesus Christ is the only one who can give you a hope that is eternal. And finally then, and most important, if even after the best efforts of yourself and your family and your church, the culture around you continues to plunge itself deeper and deeper into sin, immorality, and rebellion toward God, then simply remember, God, through His gracious gift of faith to you, will enable you to stand with confidence on that one solid and immovable rock, the Lord Jesus. And then as you stand, rejoice. Rejoice as you stand and sing, and as you stand, say with the hymn writer who wrote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, clothed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." O Lord, we pray, lift up the hearts of all those who have listened to Your word today. And when the devil tempts them to become discouraged by news reports that society is falling apart, then remind them always that heaven and earth may pass away, but that You, O Lord, and Your love and mercy will never pass away. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, enable all listeners today to turn in sincere repentance away from their sins and to trust in the sin-cleansing power of the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.